Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, boys and girls? Coming to you live from the UFC Apex here in Las Vegas. Big week, CES all week long. UFC 3412 fight night. Is that the right number?
Yeah, close enough.
Hanging out here as always. It's fight night 234.
Wow. 234.
Yeah, so don't talk about UFC 300. We're around UFC 700.
That's
by now,
awesome,
right?
Though. It's awesome that you've got like a sub brand that you can, that, you know, in between the big pay per views, you still get a great night of fights. I love it.
All right, let's bringing the show to the top.
Yeah.
Let's bring it down just a little. Let's calm down just a little.
Okay.
Matt, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Happy New Year, Jimmy.
And you, mate. And you.
Good.
What's all going on? What's going on back at home, studio wise? What's up?
Just hanging out, man. Just ready for another show. Getting excited about CES this week, and just seems like the holidays are kind of past us now. It's kind of get back to the grind, and I know we have a full schedule coming up this month. You know, between CES and UFC and Toronto, and then the Golf Expo. So
and the Royal Rumble.
The Royal Rumble, and then slide right into Super Bowl week. You know, a few weeks later. So. Busy part of the year, but always a fun and exciting time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of things to talk about. And, you know, I know that we try to bring Jimmy in slow, meaning, you know, we're going to talk a little NFL. So I want to get your opinion.
Okay.
I know that you've started, you know, now that the Raiders have moved to your town,
that
you go to the games and stuff. So let's just start with that right off. Well, back up. Scheduled on today's show, we're going to speak to a couple guys, up-and-comers.
Yeah, newbies to the sport.
You know, they may have a decent career ahead of them. We will find out. We will talk to them. Jim Miller will close out the show. He has a few fights. Followed by the guy who's chasing him for all-time fights and all-time wins and at four. Because, you know, we don't want to blow this up too much. Andre Arlovsky, the pit bull. And if you don't know the story about the nickname, it is phenomenal. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't know it until fairly recently. You know, I figured Pitbull because, you know, the fangs, the whole nine yards. Sure. There is a reason about the nickname.
Right.
And A, I don't know if you know it, and B, we will talk about it throughout the next 3 hours. One of our locals, Preston Parsons from Jacksonville, I believe the first MMA fighter out of Jacksonville to make it to the UFC. And with how many fights are in Jacksonville, great for him. And I don't know if you saw this, and, you know, I try not to follow social media, but I believe I saw a tweet from someone that Dana has already said Jim Miller will be at UFC 300.
Oh, brilliant.
Fighting at UFC 300.
That's brilliant.
He fought at UFC 100.
That's incredible.
He fought on UFC 200.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
It definitely makes sense. So, all right, this is where I want to start the show with, because there are some issues on what we're going to talk about. And if you remember, did you ever see the movie Varsity Blues?
No.
Okay. Matt, have you ever seen Varsity Blues?
I did. Is it something about a pig and like a high school football team?
Yeah. I believe that his pig was called the name of the pig. His name was Bacon. and that's what Lyman called him. I believe the quarterback was something Vanderbeek.
Oh, yeah. James Vanderbeek.
Vanderbeek.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's the backup quarterback. And, you know, he's sitting when the starting quarterback, which I believe is a pretty famous. In case I'm wrong, I don't want to say who I think it may be, but somebody Google that real quick, who the original starting quarterback was on the Varsity Blues team. So when he gets hurt, it was Paul Walker.
There you go.
Yeah, fairly known guy. So when Paul Walker gets hurt and they go to the backup, which is Vanderbeek, he's sitting on the bench reading a book.
Right.
And he has, if I remember correctly, he has like the playbook, like he's reading the playbook.
Yeah.
But then it pans in and he's just reading a regular book. And he goes in and takes over the team and blah, 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 blah. Well, they do something in that movie that Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints did on Sunday.
Right.
Which is they changed the play. So Vanderbeek, you know, the play comes in and this running back who is he was the team. You know, he brought the team all the way down to the 2-3-1, whatever it was. Then the head coach is Brad Pitt's ex-father-in-law.
Right, okay.
Angela Jolene's...
Oh, John Voight.
Yeah.
Oh, John. Sorry, I thought you meant the Saints.
Yeah. Okay. John Voight. Stay with me. You never know that I talk for a living. So they put in a different play, and they didn't let the black running back get the touchdown.
Right.
And they changed the play.
Right, okay.
Okay. And then there's a big fight in the locker room after. It obviously cost the head coach the job because he grabs Vanderbeek, blah, 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 blah. Long story to tell you what happened on Sunday. Are you aware what happened on Sunday, Matthew?
Yeah, Jameis Winston changed the play with his brothers on the line.
Right.
Went against the coach, and they lost the game because of it.
No, they didn't lose the game because of it.
No?
No.
So just from a novice point of view.
Yes.
When a play, because I'm a big NFL guy, but okay. I wouldn't know the intricacies of this. When a play, let's say the offensive coach, mm-hmm. he says, we're going to do this play.
Right.
The quarterback concurs, they go out. Is it is it for the quarterback to then determine, no, I'm going to change this? Or is that bad etiquette? I don't know how that works.
Well, yes and no. It depends on the situation. It depends on the play. Like the quarterback, here's the play. We're going to do this.
Right.
Okay. He gets up to the line of scrimmage. They go to hike the ball. And we'll use the Tampa Bay Buccaneer reference because that's home base. So the play is to go to Mike Evans.
Right.
Mike Evans, the best player in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, arguably one of the best wide receivers in football.
Yeah.
Okay. The play is to throw the ball to Mike Evans.
Yeah.
He's triple teamed.
Sure.
Okay. Now, some quarterbacks that they've had in Tampa will still try to get the ball to Mike Evans. But the quarterback will then change the play. You know, it's read offs, and they go to number two or number three.
Okay.
So it depends on the situation.
Right. Okay.
So this is the final play of the game.
Right.
The Saints have the ball at the 1 yard line. They're beating Atlanta by, 21 points, 15 points. The game is over. They go in what's called victory formation.
Yeah.
Which is where basically the quarterback's going to snap the ball. He's going to kneel down.
Okay.
Now, just for the record, just to put this in total, perspective, if you remember, Matt, there was a quarterback with the Miami Dolphins named Dan Marino.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
So it's basically the same thing. It's not the end of the game. I think it was the end of the half or whatever. They're going to, dead the ball so that, they run up to the line of scrimmage, they snap it, they just throw the ball to the ground to stop the clock.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So Marino goes to do that. They run up, they're like, dead, whatever it's called, dead play. And they do that thing like we're going to throw it to the ground. They snap the ball. Marino goes to dead it, and he throws a touchdown.
Yeah.
Okay. That's different. A, it's still during the game. You play, you run it. It's not running it up when your job is to score. It's your job to stop the other team.
Yeah.
Okay. In this particular case, the game is over. The New Orleans Saints have won the game, and they lined up in victory formation.
Right.
So everybody's assuming, well, Jameis Winston in the offensive line, I guess, determined, no, we're going to get this running back a touchdown. And they hand the ball off to him, and he scores a touchdown.
Right.
A meaningless whatever. For the record, I'm okay with them lining up to run a play. I'm okay if that was the play sent in by the head coach.
Okay.
But you have now undermined. You have to fire this head coach now. The New Orleans Saints cannot keep Dennis Allen as the head coach.
Okay. Why wouldn't you fire Jameis Winston for disobeying these?
Well, you can't because you don't fire players. And are you going to fire the entire, and Jameis Winston is the backup. So, could do some things. I'm going to put it in, and this may not make sense to you because I don't know the music world.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's say your producer.
Yeah.
I know that you guys are the talent or whatever, but you have a schedule, you have whatever. It's kind of like The Rock, Dwayne
Johnson,
went off script at an event once
right.
and got in a little bit of trouble. And this is The Rock.
Yeah.
It's all scripted.
Sure.
And if the band decides in the middle of a concert, whether it's your manager, whether it's your producer, hey, F you, we're going to do what we want up here.
Yeah.
So
isn't there like?
So I got to chime in on this. So first off, there's two different ways that I can view the end of that game. You know, one, this is the end of the season. A lot of guys have incentives to hit certain statistics to get bonuses. So, you know, J.D. Von Clowney from the Ravens, he needed half a sack to get his $750,000 bonus or whatever. Baker Mayfield,
Hold on a sec, Matt. Matt, hold on. You know, we're trying to teach some of American football to the guy who knows football, meaning soccer. So, like, if two guys hit the quarterback at the same time,
that's a half a sack.
They get now a lot of times, and you can get back to the story in a second, Matt.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of times in the room, whether it's Monday or Wednesday, these linemen are arguing as to the sack. Well, you really don't get half a sack because I already had my arms around him. You came in late. You know, you got the mop up. So that's what a half a sack is.
Gotcha.
All right, go ahead, Matt.
Sorry, Matt.
No, it's but it's all about statistics. So a lot of times at the end of the seasons, you know, you'll see guys getting favoritism or getting extra touches to get a certain number of yards or to get those incentives because it's a team thing. So you could have seen it that way from, like, maybe the running back had a clause or maybe he was close to something. We don't know that personally. At least I don't. And the other part is, you know, not down in the ball. You know, what does that do for, like, the money lines and the Vegas and the gamblers and you know, how big sports betting is now? You know, when you do things like that against the norm, you mess up money lines, and a lot of people have a lot to lose at that stake. So I think jobs will be at risk just because it does change, you know, the thing that's most important, which is money.
Absolutely not. I totally disagree. The NFL, the players, the coaches, the management could give two rats whatever about the money line unless they have money on it, and that's a joke.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing the NFL wants to ever say is, yeah, that's going to affect the money line. So, no, I totally disagree with that. I understand the first part, and if you remember, they went to the sidelines, go back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and there's a camera on Tom Brady, who Tom Brady goes over to Gronkowski and says, what do you need? And it was like 28 yards for his bonus or whatever, which was $1 million. Yeah. So they get it, and Gronkowski, who doesn't really need the money, but that's beside the point, he's going, I got my Millie.
But as a fan, you come into the stadium just to see your team play.
Right.
You know, you don't care. You know, you couldn't give two monkeys about the bonuses.
Right.
Is it not like there's not an element of, like, disrespect, like almost like, well, I'm the right play to play is this way, but I'm gonna throw it to him because he's gonna get another $750,000 if he catches the ball or something, like, especially at the end of an NFL season. I love the NFL up until the last two games of the regular season when teams are resting players, when they're going, well, we're gonna get beat because we want a better draft pick and all of that kind of stuff. So do you not think it's, like, slightly disrespectful to be that blasé about it? Hey, what do you need? I'm just going to throw you the ball so you get your $1 million. The people in the stands don't care. Just do the right thing for the team at the time.
Right. I understand what you're saying, and there's two sides. I agree with the disrespect of, like, that play.
Sure.
Okay, but it's not really disrespectful to the fans. That particular and what happened, I mean, the two coaches kind of went at it. And the New Orleans coach said to the recently fired Atlanta Falcon coach, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not the play I sent in. So now there's dissension, and how can you trust each other, you know, if a play is sent in and you made that decision? It wasn't because it wasn't showing, you know, whatever, that Mike Evans was triple teamed.
Yeah.
It's you made that decision to go that. And even if it was, Matt, to get whoever a bonus, it's still – let's be honest. If the quarterback in Seattle did what Jameis Winston did, Seattle beats the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, of course, Marshawn Lynch is a beast mode. I mean, you're not stopping beast mode in the Super Bowl. So
you don't hand off to Marshawn Lynch at the 2-yard line. They throw that pass. It's picked off. The Patriots go on to win. You know, so even that would have been going up against your head coach. But that's showing total, in my opinion, total disrespect to management, to your head coach.
Sure.
And this is what I put on my book of face. And you know, this is what I always say to everybody. I believe what I say. It may not be true, but I adamantly believe everything that I say. Do you believe you met Jimmy in the small NFL knowledge that you know. I'm not trying to disrespect you.
No, I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
And anybody that's listening to this radio program, do you believe in that exact same situation that Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints changed the play on, let me think, John Gruden, Bill Belichick, Mike Tomlin, Andy Reid, Bill Parcells, any of those guys? Do you think any of that would have happened? Absolutely not. And if it did happen, there would have been a fist fight in the locker room.
Right. That's a different era. It's a different era.
And you know the surprising thing of this whole thing? There's rumors the New Orleans Saints are bringing John Gruden in as a new coach.
What?
Like an offensive coordinator, which is awesome.
But it just comes down to I'll put it into like soccer terms.
Yeah.
That someone like Sir Alex Ferguson, who is arguably the greatest football manager of all time, big rough Scottish guy, won a load of things for Manchester United. He got rid of David Beckham at the height of David Beckham's stardom, and he got rid of him because he wasn't toe the line, and he was like, well, no one is ever bigger than the establishment, no one is bigger than the club or the team or whatever. Not Alex Ferguson in that situation would pull Jameis Winston into an office and give him his thing and say go, and I understand there's a lot of money involved and contracts, it's not quite as easy as that, but essentially that's why he was feared. And I suppose you mentioned Bill Belichick. You can't imagine someone doing that to Bill Belichick.
No.
or coaches of the like, you know, that have that kind of, that garner that kind of respect. You can't do that, especially you're the backup. How dare you? Well, you're not even the guy.
Right. You know. Right. Let's continue this conversation after this break. Let's go hit it real quick. Coming to you live from the UFC Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and Bio Accelerator. We'll be right back.
Fine, you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Roasted Whisk Gift Box Company is an online specialty gift box company specializing in corporate gifting, creating a fun and unique gifting experience for your clients, vendors, or employees. Gift boxes could include specialty coffees or teas, mugs, espresso-infused baked goods, scented candles, and many more options. Check us out at roastedwhisk.com. Roasted Whisk on all social platforms. Banners, Car Wraps, and Printing. Oh, my. Banners, Car Wraps, and Printing. Oh, my. For all of your banners, car wraps, and printing, call Compass Banners, Printing, and Wraps at 727-522-7414 for all your signage and promotional needs. Every sign tells a story. Every wrap makes a statement. Find us on Facebook. Visit our website at compassbanners.com or call 727-522-7414. Banners, Car Wraps, and Printing. Oh, my.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE. 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Kurt Gowdy, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we're back coming live from the UFC Apex here in Las Vegas as we get ready for not only the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, but Saturday is Fight Night 234. I love those numbers, 234. Like, my favorite time of the day is 1234. I mean, I'm a huge fan of that. So a story that I started to tell Jimmy during the break, which we have talked about numerous times, Matt. But, well, first you tell the soccer, the David Beckham, the whole soccer thing you were telling me.
No. We would, just in reference to this, there are more famous players than you that will come and go, that have been and gone. You have to respect the manager. And like I said, Sir Alex Ferguson, Jose Mourinho, all the big managers of this particular time and recent times would have literally put someone like Jameis Winston into the reserve team if it cost them $100 million. They wouldn't care, because essentially that's their career over if you allow someone to behave in that manner. Now, I know I might be speaking out of turn because I don't know, American football like you guys do. But to be very honest with you, it's the only way the guy keeps his job for me is by coming down hard on him. Because if you don't, then where does it stop?
No, exactly.
Every player in that team is now going to take liberties because they know they can. And at the end of the day, you're talking about egotistical, wealthy young men. And this is what happens in lots of cases. So
the story that I started to tell Jimmy, during the break, Matt, and we have talked about this, that Tony Dungy was called by, I know there's something that's now, I don't know if the station's doing it or something has been attached where it's now making awful sounds here as we're trying new equipment. No, it's not that. That's good. All right, we'll figure it out during the break. So Derek Brooks, who's in the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and John Lynch, who is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, go into the head coach's office, Tony Dungy, who is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. For Indianapolis, by the way, Matt, nothing to do with Tampa Bay. And says to Tony Dungy, we have a problem. Whatever it is just went away. So we have a problem with Warren Sapp, who is also now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Right.
Arguably, we can argue it, Warren Sapp, the greatest Buccaneer of all time. So they go to Tony Dungy and they say, Warren's doing this. Warren needs to be sat down. Warren. Sure. And Tony Dungy looks at both future Hall of Famers, who were huge even at the time, and looked at John Lynch first and said, and pointed at him, we can win without you.
Yeah.
And then he pointed to Derek Brooks, Hall of Famer, legend. We can win with it without you.
Yeah.
We can't win without 99.
Yeah.
So...
Sure, I get it. There's lots of stories like that go through where managers, coaches see something so unique in a player that they are just special, but sometimes you need to let them just be special. And they're not really privy to the rest of the rules. But when you start changing the rules and start going against the head coaches and whatnot, and it's just from an ego point of view, or I just want to play the big guy, that's a different thing, any football fan that was maybe a fan of someone like Manchester United, they had a player called Eric Cantona. And Eric Cantona was a French magician in the middle of the field. He hardly trained. He was kind of lazy. He was always unfit. But with the ball at his feet, he was magical. And all the other players used to get annoyed with the coach because he got special treatment.
Right.
And the coach said, well, if you can do what he can do,
right,
then I'll give you the same treatment. But you can't. So essentially, there's one set of rules for you, and then there's one for him, because he's one of those very, very unique characters in sport that can do something that not many other people can do. So I have to treat him differently. And that's different to someone just having a big ego and saying, well, I demand this money, or I demand this behavior, or these special privileges, but yeah, that's kind of interesting. I'm going to go back and watch that play.
Well, but I think it's more symbolic of just the culture and what the world is at and the current state. The passage or the history of tradition or respect of coming into an organization and following command. I see it in everything. I came from hospitality, and people used to come and work in the restaurant to contribute and to give it their all and want to help build something. You know, they recognized that you took a risk and you invested in a future and you're working for something. And they came in and they bought into that and they helped you for the short amount of time they were there. But now, you know, new employees, new people come in and they're just entitled. They want everything. They don't want to do the work. There's no respect for authority. They don't care if they get fired because they can go next door and do the same thing. So I just think it's the same thing. It's like a younger generation that is just going to listen to what they want to and not to the chain of command.
The only good thing, and there is no good thing, but the only good thing is it appears at least the New Orleans Saints offensive line, the offensive team at least that was on the field, they were all in this together. Could you imagine if six said yes and five said no? Now you're going to have dissension not only with your head coach that needs to be replaced now, but now these players are, you know, not going to be able to trust their, and I hate the word anymore, brother, you know, because that's all they ever talk about. I know what my brother's going to do, the guy to my right, the guy to my left, you know, whether it's, you know, honestly on a battlefield or on a football field. You know, I need the right tackle to know what I'm going to do. If you can't rely on that, you know, you're going to have issues. Well, at least they were all in on it, allegedly. So I think it's an issue. I think it's a big problem. And it was 100% wrong.
I agree. But why does the coach have to lose his job because his essential employees banded together and didn't follow his command? Like, why does he lose his job just because he couldn't control them in that moment?
Absolutely. Well, and I'll put it in terminology that you might be able to understand as a former pizza owner, okay?
Yep.
So you're not at the restaurant, and you tell your general manager, this is what I want done.
Yeah.
Okay? And the general manager tells your employees, this is what we're going to do. And they basically spit in your general manager's face, right?
Yeah.
We're going to do what we want. We're leaving. Well, no, you can't leave until noon. No, I'm leaving now. I'm clocking out or don't. You know what I'm saying? So now you have to do one of two things. You, as the owner of that restaurant, has to either get rid of that staff that showed total disrespect to not only the general manager that you put in place, but you as the owner.
Yeah.
Or you have to put in a new general manager, and it's like starting over, that he comes in or she comes in and demands, this is what we're going to do, and if you don't like it. It's kind of like all those TV shows, Restaurant Impossible and all that kind of stuff. If you don't respect your next supervisor, how are you going to be able to continue working? So, no, unfortunately, in my opinion, I mean, it would be like even this radio show. You know, there's things that, you know, we all decide, all right, we're going to do this. And then, I don't know, some big, tall Mohawk dude decides to, and that's not you. I'm like, oh, shit, Jimmy's shit. Jimmy has the Mohawk.
Yeah, I've shaved my Mohawk for Lent. So.
Well, you know, Matt used to have the Mohawk. But I'm just saying, and, you know, you go rogue and you go this and you go that. You know, how can things continue on, you know, with the disrespect of whatever? And I'm not using you as the analogy anymore. I don't know how the New Orleans Saints go forward and how the head coach now has to literally worry every play, every close play, every... I mean, that wasn't even a controversial play. The game's over. Victory formation. Neil, let's go home.
I think the only way he keeps his job is by Derek Carr. It's Derek Carr, right? Mm-hmm. It's Derek Carr comes back in, and then the next time Derek Carr is injured or out, that he doesn't play him, because that sends a very clear signal of I'm the boss. I'll make the decisions, and this is the rules. So if he does that, he gets some respect back. But then again, I don't know the financials. I'm sure in the NFL it's huge. So I'm really like a novice speaking. I'm just obviously from an outside point of view.
If I'm Dennis Allen, and Matt, tell me your thoughts. If I'm Dennis Allen and that's my thinking, I just get rid of him now.
Sure.
Why would I keep him on the team? But, you know, at this level, kind of like Beckham, do you think Beckham cared? Because he went to the next team and made just as much money.
No. Right. I genuinely, having actually worked with David Beckham, I think he did care, because he's a fan of the club and he's actually an incredibly nice, genuine human being. He was gutted when that happened. Obviously, he made a lot of money, but he was already very wealthy at the time anyway.
Right.
So it was just a clash, and I think he even admits it now. Maybe there's the documentary on Netflix where he kind of talks about the amount of attention that he was getting and the ego and stuff.
Sure.
And like I said, I knew him at that point.
And I very first met him at that point, and he was the loveliest, sweetest man ever. So I think he was one of those rare people in sport that genuinely cared. But I think at the end of the day, you do look in the mirror some mornings and go, hey, I'm Lionel Messi. I can do what I want. Right. You know, and there's a point where you go, yes, that's maybe true in certain circles, but in a team that where there's 50, 60 other guys on that field with you, I'm not so sure you get
it. The problem with that situation is he's not Messi.
Well, he's
not Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston, who's lucky that he's a backup.
And there you go. Someone that promised so much that has failed to deliver. He now makes this call where if you're an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady or a Roethlisberger or someone that's been there and won Super Bowls and done the whole nine yards, then I think there's a lot more respect goes to it. But I also think those guys probably go, coach, I disagree, we're going to go with this. I don't think they just do it and then go and shout at people. I think they probably have a modicum of respect and understand how leadership is supposed to be. You know, that's why they get to where they get to. Right. You know.
Well, speaking of head coaches who actually overachieve, Jim Harbaugh is your national champion. Michigan Wolverines beat Washington State this week, or Washington Huskies this week.
Right. Did you see the one clip where his brother comes over and like
surprises him?
Which Harbaugh's at Michigan, Jim?
Yeah, Jim's at Michigan.
Okay, so Jim is kind of his hands are on his knees, and I don't know if he's thinking, praying, daydreaming, hoping he had a Diet Coke. I don't know what the deal was. And John comes over and kind of taps him, and he doesn't look up at first. And then he looks up, and, you know, it's his brother, and they hug. And, you know, and how cool is it if this happens? And I'm not, like, rooting for the Baltimore Ravens. I don't care who wins the Super Bowl. We'll be out here that week broadcasting. We're going to have a great time. But Jim wins and John wins in the same year. If the Baltimore Ravens win, they both win. You know, I know you hate the word world. They both win the championship of their respected leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be very cool. They're twins. Are they twins?
I don't think so.
No, I knew that they were brothers or something. Someone mentioned, I was watching that game, and someone had mentioned, and I remember someone hearing their name that they were involved. But no, listen, that'd be kind of fun. It would also be really fun. I mean, the banter must be back and forth with when you've got people at that level of sport competing, not necessarily against each other in this situation, but the idea that you've just won the college championship, you've just won the big dance for college football, and now, like I said, going to the Super Bowl, the text messages and the messages before must, if it's a brother, you know, if you've got brothers and you understand the banter that goes on between brothers, you must be sending that text message the night before going, listen, all the best tomorrow, but just remember, there's only one ring in this family so far, so you know what, what I mean? There must be some...
So, Jimmy, so if you go back to February 3rd, 2013, in front of 108.69 million people viewership, of an attendance of 71,024, there was the Harbaugh, which was both brothers coaching against each other for the Super Bowl, the 49ers versus the Ravens.
Yeah,
so brothers in the same game competing at the highest level for the one Lombardi trophy.
Amazing. Can I ask? So we've got you guys know what you're talking about. I was watching. I've been watching since being here. Obviously, not going to college in the US, I have really no affiliation to any. And living in Vegas, UNLV, obviously never. It's kind of underachieves, or I don't know if it underachieves, but just never achieves.
Well, unfortunately, you missed their basketball run.
Yeah, that was nasty.
I don't know enough about that kind of thing. I'd like to probably support them. I probably should living here now, but. Here's one thing. I love the enormity of the college game. I think it's incredible. And I was with some people watching the semifinals last week or the week before, and watching these games. And it's an amazing spectacle. It really is. But here's one thing that I cannot stand: college bands at sporting events, because like I just love this. There's like behind the posts, you have like 70 people all dressed ridiculously, and some team has just lost maybe in the last minute, and then there's 90 tubers all playing I Shot the Sheriff, and it's just infuriating. I would be if I was next to these people, I'd be losing my mind.
You want me to change your mind?
Go on, go for it.
I can change your mind.
Let's see it.
I know you know what I'm going to say, Matt. Do you know what game it was?
The basketball game?
No, it was a football game, and I believe Stanford was involved.
Yeah,
the very famous Stanford band. You've never seen that?
No.
Okay.
Oh, you
we will get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So the Stanford band is in the end zone getting ready. The game is over, right? So the Stanford, I think it's the Stanford band, is in the end zone, blah, 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 blah. And a guy returns the kickoff for a touchdown.
Okay.
And the very end, he jumps in the end zone and he hits the trombone player as the trombone.
No way.
Dodge. Yeah. Yes.
I love
yes.
it.
So I'm saying, we can make you a band fan.
Was it the Boston College game?
No.
That is brilliant.
I don't think it was Boston College. All you got to do is Google Stanford band football. It's awesome.
I would just love to see like a college band, you know, like
it was Stanford versus Cal.
Okay, but I'd love to see like that big paddock where all the people in the band are there, and like I said, it's all tubas and oboes and I don't know trombones going nuts right next to like a load of Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Sure.
You know what I mean? December. I just want to see what would happen. I can't abide it. It's just every single time there's something happens, and it's always the strangest songs as well. I don't get it. Surely there's like 300 or 400 tickets there that could go to other fans, not dressed as
student body or
right.
You know, but the band's part of the college. I mean, there were some NFL teams. The Bucks used to have a band, and they were in the right side of the one end zone, and they'd march around and. Also, our favorite and Ed, who runs the station over there, we talk about it always. Our famous halftime, you know, they always have these halftime shows, whether it's the Super Bowl and these big musicians. Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, along with others, I'm sure, the best halftime show the Bucs ever had were the flying dogs that catch the frisbees.
All right.
You know, and they throw it like the length of the field, and this poor pup has to run the whole, and he drops it, and they're sure. No, get back to the line and do it again. Yeah. We loved watching those dogs. It was definitely a good stuff.
So speaking of the band, Jimmy, did you see the viral clip of the swim team distracting the free throw shooter in college basketball? They all wore their Speedos and stood behind the basket to distract the free throw shooter.
All right, let's take it one step further. You know how they have all those reels come up on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
So... Steve Harvey, you know, has a lot of those things as well, you know, from Family Feud. So there's one, and you need to watch some of these. They are hilarious. So it's two families, and the one family comes over, and she's, I'm going to say scantily clad. Well endowed.
Yeah.
Is that what breasts are called too?
Yeah.
And she walks up there getting ready to ask the question, and she starts jiggling her breasts.
Right.
And so... something was said, and the opponent, you know how they all shake and all that stuff, he makes some kind of comment, I don't remember, like, wow, or oh, that's interesting, and Steve Harvey's like, your wife is right behind you, and you're talking about this, and she's laughing, she's juggling her breasts and stuff, so, hey, it is what it is. Whatever it takes to win. Win at all cost, which, where are we time-wise? Let's hit this break, and when we come back, win at all cost, and is there a line, now that we have Jimmy here, we're going to talk about crap talking, and is there a line? Not necessarily Sean Strickland, not necessarily Duplessis, but we're going to talk about that when we return. Coming to you live from the Apex here in Las Vegas, this is Knockout Radio. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chad Johnson. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today. Get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
Are you ready for the fight? Don't miss the Tampa Bay Food Fight at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino on January 30th from 6 to 9. Benefiting Metropolitan Ministries job training programs, watch live as your favorite chefs throw down in a culinary battle of the Bay and feast on delicious cuisine from 50 restaurants. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster and will sell out fast. Visit TampaBayFoodFight.org for more event info.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at CountryDepotStore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
BioAccelerator is recognized as a global leader in cell therapy and regenerative medicine for sports and orthopedic injuries, spine and disc conditions, and chronic pain. The company has treated thousands of patients, including many UFC champions, former and current NFL players, and many everyday people like you and I.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, this is Sebastian Bach, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. Turn it up!
I don't know much coming from the Apex here in Las Vegas. If that's Sebastian Bach's real voice, or, you know, it's like a lot of times people thought Randy Macho, you know, made that voice up. That was his real voice.
It is.
Could you imagine talking like that?
It is. I've met him a few times down here in Vegas. He talks exactly like that.
Unreal. Not only did we have the opportunity to meet him, talk to him, Matt did not a bad interview until one of these two knuckleheads asked him if he was going to go to the whatever band he used to be in.
Skid Row.
Yeah. Were you going to go to the Skid Row concert? He's like, why would I go to the Skid Row concert? You know. All right. So, you know, we've talked a lot about this, obviously, you know, since Sean Strickland's comments, Colby Covington's comments. Do you believe that there is a line in crap talking?
Yes.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I understand the kind of incessant need to win. But I also think that when you win, maybe not at the time, but years down the line, the people that gain, that have kept the respect of the people in the sport and have any form of legacy, are usually the ones that did it right. And I think you've got to be, here's the thing, I think you've got to be very, very careful, because we now live in a world of everything has immediately out to millions of people. And I think when you're the kids out there, impressionable youngsters, all of this kind of stuff, I love the UFC doesn't censor anybody. I think that's a brilliant thing, that the UFC doesn't do that, and they make a point of not censoring someone, because I think that's a fantastic thing. But I think there is a point where you go, when you start talking about people's children, things that may have happened to them in the past that are incredibly serious and sad, I think that crosses a line. I think that's therein. I think most things are up for debate and up for a bit of fun, but I think there is a certain point where you go, hang on a minute, you do have a certain element of a responsibility, whether you've asked for it or not, when you fight at this level, you fight for this company, and you represent, you know, the sport as a whole. I think you got to be very careful where you go. I think so.
I understand. I disagree.
Yeah.
Shocking. You know, now if it's implemented by your boss, that's a different story. I believe, and I know Matt has a comment too, so, you know, I'll get mine out because I'll forget it by the time Matt's done talking. I don't believe there is a line. And especially in the fight game, if it's real and genuine.
Yeah.
Okay. I know a lot of times it's made up. It's, you know, to whether it's to push a fight, to push a football game or whatever. And this is, you know, my stance on this. If I don't like you, legitimately don't like you,
sure,
why do I care if I upset you? Why do I care? Does it make me a bad human being? Yeah, maybe to a certain point. But I don't think anybody who would make the comment that Colby Covington made thinks you're not that type of person to begin with. You know, if you're willing to say that, then you've said other things similar. Okay?
Yeah.
And like I said, I've always disliked when they talk some serious hatred. And then after the fight, oh, well, we respect each other. We fought it out. Love you. You know, real is real.
Yeah.
And there's some things, being Jewish, that you could say to me that I understand would upset me.
Yeah.
But if I don't know you, I don't care what you say to me, say about me.
Sure.
If we're friends, then you probably shouldn't say it, but then we're probably not friends either.
Yeah.
You know, and I've learned that recently as well, as we know.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's just my thing. Was that comment about his dad, whether he was a bad guy, good guy, you know, Steve Kerr was, it was his father that was murdered. He was an ambassador, I believe.
Right.
And he was playing college ball and they were chanting like his name or something to get in Steve Kerr's head.
Sure.
You know, this is the whole arena.
So listen, I mean, this is like, I mean, for years and years and years in sport, especially back home, but in cricket, which we don't need to talk about cricket, but the Australians.
You can now get them chocolate covered and eat it.
But you know, the Australians in cricket especially, they call it sledging in cricket. They were renowned for being absolutely brutal. I mean, crossing every line, literally leaping over those lines. And for years and years and years, it was, I mean, cricket was supposed to be the gentleman's game and we're all very honourable. Then we're going to have tea in the break and it's all going to be lovely and all this kind of stuff. But when you played the Australians, when you would come out to bat, you'd have like the fielders that would be behind you. And there's one player, I can't remember the guy's name, played for New Zealand, who's brother was killed in a rail accident about 2 weeks earlier, and they didn't know whether he was going to play. Obviously, New Zealand Australia have this big rivalry, and as he comes out to bat, the entire slip cordon, which is all the fielders behind him, all start making train noises as he's coming out. And of course, this is like maybe the 80s or something like this, and it was totally brutal, and everyone's, but the Australians are going, hey, we got him early and he left. They said winning's winning, don't care. And they've always had that kind of mentality,
right.
Hence why they're so good at cricket, right, kind of thing, right. You know. But I don't know. But if you don't care about that, how do you care about a fighter sitting at a press conference like there will be here in a few hours, saying, "I hate this guy. I'm going to kill him," which we don't need that kind of talk within the sport. The sport has transcended all of that barbaric nonsense that went. It's now a highly skilled, arguably the most highly skilled sport that you can compete in. And when you get someone saying, "I want to kill that man across there," I get that they're trying to sell a fight, and I get that they're trying to be a hard man and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, that's someone with a family, that's someone with children, that's someone that's just trying to make a better life for his people.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
Matt, I'll let you respond first.
Yeah, no, I think, Jimmy, I look at it, you know, with the trash talking, at least like at the press conference today and what you're talking about, it's more like an addict, you know, like you got to do something to get a certain reaction and a certain high, and then eventually you become immune to it. So you got to do something more shocking and more shocking. And it's like, you know, to get the sales, to get the tickets up, to get the intrigue and the interest that it gets people to spend their money, they've got to keep raising the bar on the crazy statements and antics, like when McGregor threw the energy drink across the press conference. You know, like those kind of antics spike the meter, and I think it's like an addiction. They got to keep doing more and more. I don't think they're doing it to sit down logically thinking, okay, how can I devastate this person's family, or how can I piggyback off of a tragedy to take them out of their mental game? You know, I think it's more for like sales and tickets and views.
Do you not think, though, sorry, but do you not think there's somewhere, where does it end? Because like I said,
I'll tell you where it ends.
It gets, if it has to be escalated every single time to, well, we're now, you know, now someone throwing something at a press conference is really no big deal anymore, unless it's a superstar. Right. So now where do we go? Now we're going to attack someone's family or someone's abuse as a child or whatever it was that's been mentioned. Where does it end? I don't think it ends in a good place for the sport, if you understand.
No, for sure. And here's where it ends. When somebody says, "I'm going to kill him."
And does it.
And actually does.
Yeah, sure.
And then, you know, and I'm a big believer in, if something happens you know, the skate, you know, and, yeah. And you hurt somebody. And you don't mean to. Yeah. It happens. Yeah. You know, a fight in hockey, and then they took it to court because it was too brutal. It's part of the sport. But when you've said, I'm going to kill him.
Yeah. I mean, the skate thing. I mean, he deserves to go to jail.
No, for sure. Yeah. Because it was very similar.
Yeah.
You know, where it was attempted. It was,
So, he knew it was what he was doing.
Right. Exactly.
I don't suggest he knew he was going to kill him.
Well, I think, hold on 1 second. I think that that's all because of Adam Sandler. Because didn't he make a comment about taking the hockey, his skate off and slicing somebody in one of the movies, making a joke? I believe, and that's alleged. Go ahead, Matt.
So I know firsthand, I won't mention names because I don't want to, you know, bring it to the public light, but I know that trash talking got out of hand between two fighters, and an assault rifle was required to be left in the hands of the organization before the fight, or they weren't going to let them fight during the event. Because the trash talking got so personal that real lives were at risk here in Tampa.
No, for sure. I think we lost Matt.
I think it's
actually. No, go ahead and finish.
No, but that was it. So trash talking, depending on who the receiving end on, you know, you may have to account for your words in the real world, you know, and you're right. When somebody loses their real physical life because of a sport promotion and trash talking going wrong, it's going to, you know, warrant change across the board.
Here's the thing. When you're a Connor, and let's say Connor's fighting a, you know, a Dustin Poirier, let's say, you've got two professionals that, yes, there's beef, yes, there's lots of chatter back and forth with each other, and they go for it and they do all of those things. But the thing that I think is, I know for a fact there's been moments when Connor's come off those things and has made comments to people saying, that's another 500 pay-per-view buys, because he's a good businessman and he understands. Now, my argument with someone like Sean Strickland, who I think is amazing and I'm very happy for all his success, Sean Strickland, to his own admittance, is has got a screw loose. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, he's not really interested in the money or the fame. He's very outspoken. He'll do whatever he has to do to get the job done, all that kind of stuff. But he just loves fighting. So when you cross the line with someone like that, that isn't playing, do you understand what I mean, Matt? Like, there's certain people that do it and know exactly what pay-per-view points are going to go here. But when you're doing it to someone who care, that's a dangerous thing to do, you know?
Well, so I'm actually sitting here in the studio. Fox News is on, and right now it says fired coach, player booted over anti-Semitic claim during racial slurs or anti-Semitic claims during a basketball game, and the head coach has lost his job over it in, I think it's in Yonkers. So, I mean, words that you say can actually get you canceled, you know, from careers, from roles of authority, from coaching.
And the thing is, you know, I'm not a great... There's too much cancel culture, you know, and like I said, I've always loved the way that Dana and the company allow people to speak their minds, because they're all grown-ups, and you need to allow people to take responsibility for their own comments and bits and pieces. And I think they're selling a fight, and then there's crossing a line. And what I think you see more and more, and I find it quite cringy, you see people like Connor, the great Chael Sonnen, they do the trash talk thing kind of so naturally. It's so their personality. They sell a fight like Ali used to do. And there's so many of those guys that just do it naturally. They're natural showmen. They can just go out and just talk the talk and sell a fight. And it's absolutely fantastic. But then you get others that go, well, they're making the big bucks. I need to do that too. And there's nothing worse than fighters that don't naturally do that, trying to do it. And that's when I think you get a lot of problems, because they don't know necessarily how to get under someone's skin, so they immediately go for the jugular. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. I mean, but look, going back to the James Winston thing, you know, if you're a head coach and there's things going on, you know, like this high school Yonkers, or you know, if you're in control, if you're the, you know, top of the chain, and the people below you don't follow or don't respect, you know, you can lose careers. I mean, he's saying that he's a scapegoat for what happened. He's not, you know, actually to blame. But I mean, words are powerful. You know, we talked about it before. You know, sticks and stones break your bones, or words can never hurt you. But in the world we live in, words can absolutely change the trajectory of your career, of your life, of everything.
Like I said, I think if it's going to sell a fight, that's great and all. Especially if it's real beef, then that's great.
Right.
You know, that's great. But I remember someone like Muhammad Ali was so lauded as being this icon, and of course, quite rightly so. But I remember everyone forgets about the time when he went to prison, and he couldn't afford to pay his family. The whole Joe Frazier helped him out financially, and then when he came out of prison, they arranged the fight. And during that fight, Joe Frazier had literally put money in his hand to feed his family. And then during the press conferences for the fight, Ali turns all the kind of racism kind of thing, saying he was Uncle Tom, that kind of reference. Right. And Joe Frazier's kids couldn't go to school, so you go in, that crosses the line.
We will continue this. I believe we have a guest in and outside the door. We're going to have him on here in the next couple of minutes. Let's hit the top of the hour. And we will continue coming to you live from the Apex here in Las Vegas as we get ready for not only the Consumer Electronics Show, which will be out this afternoon, but Fight Night 234, just a couple days away. We'll be right back.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is Rick Nash from the Columbus Blue Jackets, and you're listening to Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.